What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, everybody, it's the Dairy Gats Comedy Show.
We're here to hump you.
2-9.
Hump, hump, hump. Today we're talking about some weird Medford facts.
Uh-huh. We do some weed math. Some crazy, weird weed math.
And there was a weed bust at an old folks' home.
Mm-hmm.
275,000 joints.
Yep. And don't forget, homeschool advantage is always best.
Oh, you know it. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Wednesday, Widgets.
Widgets.
I think it's wabbit hunting season.
It's time to freak out. You thought we weren't freaking out? We're freaking out.
We are freaking out. It is Wednesday, and this is Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Yes. I am Gatch.
I'm Terry. It's number 629.
629.
Or 529, if you ask Gatch. He's all caught up in season 5, and can't seem to get out of there, but...
Kabam! Freak me out.
It's an inside joke on that one, but I didn't think the song was going to freak out so much. But a little throwback, not too far, but to our long lost friend Chris Castles, who moved on to Austin. This is Destroy the Deck,
uh-huh.
A band that I
did to death.
I guess they're still a band, but I don't think they could practice much since.
Yeah, they're always destroying decks,
skateboards, back porches, and cassette players.
Yeah, and we hung out on the deck of
the Dixie
of Max Place when we burnt.
Leg. That's kind of a deck. That's more of a balk.
Yeah, yeah.
Destroy the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy the leg.
Yeah. A balcony is just a deck on a different floor.
Right. I guess. Well, usually isn't a deck made of wood, or is it always cards? I've stood on a deck of cards one time and barbecued. Have you ever barbecued on a deck of cards?
No. That'd be pretty tough.
I put my...
If you try burning a playing card sometime.
Dude, they don't burn. They're coated.
They do not burn.
They're coated, man. Mm-hmm. They do a little flare out and then they go out.
Yeah. That reminds me of a story about this painting of a crying boy that was popular back in the day. It was like this close-up painting of a boy, and it had a tear rolling down his face. It was very popular, especially in Europe.
Okay.
And one day, a firefighter came forward and said, "In all these houses that have been burned, the only thing that remained unburned was this painting of this boy."
A playing card. Oh, okay.
Of this boy.
Okay.
Like, wherever on the wall it hang, it would be unburned while the house burned.
Weird.
And so, people thought it was a ghost or something weird, magical about the painting. It just turned out that they were all coated in, a fire retardant.
The same stuff that playing cards are made out of, probably. That's crazy.
But that would be freaky, if you were a firefighter and every house that you went in that was totally burnt, just that one crying boy was staring down at you in perfect condition.
You can't burn me because of the tear on my cheek.
Yeah, I'm haunted.
It puts the fire out. Well, we didn't start the fire. It was Billy. Billy Joel started the fucking fire.
Dude, I don't know. What do you think of that song, honestly?
I don't
know. He rattles off a bunch of people, and then he goes, "We didn't start the fire." It's kind of upbeat and really up-tempo, which kind of is... So the song flows, but is there anything to it, really?
"We didn't start the fire." He needed something to jumpstart his career. That was a hit,
was true.
I think. I don't know how, and it's so anthemic.
It is.
And it's like
an anthemic song.
We didn't start it. The burning down the house. You have that song, burning down the house, and the roof is on fire. Let that motherfucker burn. We didn't start the fire, burning down the house, or something. I don't know.
Didn't he close down a famous New York place like right before they demolished it? He played like 2 days there or something.
Probably. I don't know. I lost touch with old Bill.
I bet one of those days was an entire... You think he could do a four-hour version of Piano Man?
Nah.
You don't think he could?
Well, of course he could. It would be boring as hell, though. You'd have that
a six-album set.
La da da dee dee da. He'd have that middle part. La da dee dee da da da. That'd have to go on for like, because that's like the solo part.
Yep.
Besides the fucking harmonica solo,
people would be playing it. People would be singing that song along for the entire 4 hours, though.
Seeing songs like that, I don't know. That's kind of, it's not anthemic, but that's one that kind of really, well, for me, because I played it as a child, but I know a lot of people who don't even like Billy Joel that much, but they know that song. You've heard it. Everybody's heard it. It's almost like, I don't know, like Jingle Bells. Not really, but we're talking last, oh, that's weird. Okay, cool. We talked last week about how it's too soon for Christmas music.
Yeah.
I've been hearing Christmas music on TV. And then when I got ready to go to Medford last week, I wanted to do a little Medford fact searching just to see if I could write some regional material that would resonate with the locals. I didn't really find anything, but I found a bunch of useless information about Medford, including that Medford is where Jingle Bells was written.
What?
And it is not about Christmas, but it later... got changed into a Christmas song. So in the 1800s, they used to have one-horse sleigh races in Medford. And they even, it says between Pleasant Street and this other place, I didn't go there when we were there, but this certain area, they used to have these sleigh races. And oh, what fun it was to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. And then they have the original lyrics of it, and it's not about Christmas. It's about wintertime, having fun. And sometimes one of the verses is about going and picking up a hot chick and going out on a nice date in your one-horse sleigh. But that all got changed. And if you think about it, Jingle Bells doesn't really say Merry Christmas or anything about Christmas in it.
It doesn't.
It's just a
wintertime song.
It's a wintry song. And so that guy wrote that song, and then he went to San Francisco for the gold rush, and then he came back and became a prominent member of the community. And that's his claim to fame, and that's pretty much Medford's claim to fame, is that Jingle Bells was written there about their town where they used to have the sleigh races.
Yeah.
I fucking didn't know
that's
that.
Crazy.
Where would you think Jingle Bells would have been written? I don't know. Not in California, because it doesn't really snow that much. Maybe New York. Bing Crosby. I didn't know.
Yeah, there's such standards that you don't even think about who wrote them.
Amelia Earhart also lived in Medford, and she has...
I thought you were going to say she wrote a Christmas song.
No, well, she may have, but no, she has a house there that she still doesn't live at because she's dead, but no, I don't think they ever found her.
Oh, she's living in the basement.
That's right. Well, you can go on a tour there and go see her house, which is weird.
Huh.
It's another thing about Medford. And then another thing I like to do, a lot of comics, when you go to a city you've never been to, is look up the demographics of the city and see... What kind of material should I have? You know, should I do my black pussy joke or should I have that on tap or not? And so I look it up. Medford is 86% white, 0.9% African-American, like 12% Mexican or Latino. And the rest was a smattering of just different 0.08 and point. Well, 0.9 was the least, and that was African-Americans. And oddly enough, of the crowd of 25 people, there was about 6 black dudes there at the show. So that didn't do any good. But they were really cool, though, man. They came up after the show and said, you guys were really funny. And then I did the thing that I always feel weird about doing, but I call my white friends this, too. And I said, hey, thanks a lot, brother. And then every time I call a black guy that I don't know brother, it makes me feel like I'm calling him brother because he's a brother.
Yeah. Well, that's because he doesn't know you. Right.
I don't know if he thought that.
Well,
that's just the thoughts that
that's just overthinking it, though.
I know. Why does racial tension have to be so, racial awareness have to be so in your face that you can't even accidentally call a dude a term of endearment without going, oh, fuck, I shouldn't call him brother, because some people call black people brothers. And well, I got a brother.
But then it's
he's my brother. And then I got friends that are in my band, and I call my other comedic friends and my podcasting brothers, and I don't know.
But when you're on stage and the awkward moment happens, you're supposed to acknowledge the awkward moment, right?
Oh, exactly.
And make a joke about it.
Exactly.
So you should have said you probably thought I called you brother because you're black, but I call everybody brother, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, if it would have been, this was after the show, and they were just leaving, and me and Alex were standing by the door, and they said, you guys are really funny, man, thanks a lot, and they shook our hands, and I said, thanks, brother. And then I was like, oh. But, you know, I shouldn't even have thought that, but for some reason, that's what popped into my little...
people have brains, though, and they think.
I think of stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Do you think I come on here and talk 2 hours a week?
You want to hear some more local shout-outs? You know Justin Kirk? He played Andy Botwin on Weeds.
Okay, yes. Yes, I know
He was born in Salem, Oregon.
Wow. Made me drop my cigarette.
That's and then cool. He spent his childhood in Union, Washington, where he went to grade school on a Native American reservation.
Huh. Well, I wonder if he really only has 3 toes on 1 foot.
That guy knew at the age of 3 that he wanted to perform and made his acting debut at 7 in a local college play.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yep.
Well, he's been at it for a while, and I never heard of him until Weeds.
Yeah.
So that's
you've probably seen him in other bit parts, I bet, though, because I go through when I see somebody on a show that's a regular or something, and sometimes I'll go and look them up, and then you realize that you've seen them in like guest episodes of other shows.
Right.
Like the other day I saw Brad Garrett. He was the killer on Monk.
Ah.
He was trying to kill Monk.
I thought he was going to try to be his brother. They kind of look alike.
No, John Turturro was his brother.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they kind of look alike, too.
Yeah, he played a real... It was kind of interesting to watch John Turturro in a television role, for one.
Yeah.
You know? But he was real quiet and shy. Yeah. He just didn't... it wasn't a John Turturro that you're accustomed to, so it was kind of funny. But he was only on there for a few minutes, I think. It was kind of like a clip show.
Huh. Crazy. Yeah, I thought there were some other famous people from Medford, but I couldn't recall, besides Amelia Earhart, but after you mentioned that guy being from Salem, but I don't have any idea. But yeah, I didn't get to do any Medford jokes. Alex did a few. Well, he made fun of Grant's Pass, which I guess is the Springfield of Medford.
Yeah.
When they wouldn't get a joke, he would say, oh, I see we have people in the audience with family in Grants Pass. I was like, I don't get it. I heard him say dick, but what? He did really well. He did about 1 hour and 10 minutes, and he fucking killed. The ladies sitting beside me were literally wiping tears off their face, and she was holding her side. She was like, oh, my ribs hurt. So he's fucking funny. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. He's got some haters. He's got a little dispute going on with the Donkey Show people, and I hate to be caught in between it because I like them both. But
yeah, let their people be theirs.
People
right?
can be stupid, you know, get all up in arms about popularity contests and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all going to get famous, fucking Jesus.
Yeah, here's some stuff that Justin Kirk was in that you may. He was in 32 episodes of a show from 1999 to 2001 called Jack and Jill. You remember that?
I think I remember I'm thinking of that show by Adam Sandler, that stupid movie, Jack and Jill.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think I'd heard of a TV show called that, maybe.
He was the reason why I looked him up was he was in that same episode of The Blacklist. He was the villain in there that Andrew Dice Clay was in.
Huh.
And, yeah, he was also, he's going to be the voice of Green Lantern in Justice League.
Huh.
And he's in 4 episodes of Modern Family.
I think that his career pretty much took off a little bit after Weeds, because that was kind of a cult classic.
Oh, yeah.
Of sorts. Boy, my daughter would be awfully stoked. Her biggest crush, band dude, Kellen Quinn, singer of Sleeping with Sirens.
What?
From Medford. Kellen Quinn.
I don't even know.
Sleeping with Sirens?
Is he related to Colin Quinn?
I don't think so. He's from Medford. He's not from Jersey, so I doubt if he's related to Colin Quinn. Kellen Quinn, and was talking to former guest on the show and local writer Brandon Vaughn at the 30-pound test show not too long ago. I think it was him. Maybe it was someone else. Oh, no, I did talk to him for a second, but... my memory serves me more correct now, I was talking to, fucking that guy that plays drums that he used to play with, sometimes Why. What's his name?
Jeremy Daniels?
Yeah, I was talking to Jeremy Daniels, and he said that his 15-year-old kid loves Sleeping with Sirens and came home with a shirt that said, fuck you, in really big letters on the front or something, and, you know, you got to tell your kids you can't. They got kicked out of school for the day or something for wearing it to school. And Sleeping with Sirens, you've never heard of them. A lot of people never heard of them, but it's this emo, screamo, fucking weeno, not ween, but gay.
Weener.
Weener band, wanker. I don't know. They're like, la, 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 because the chorus we sing real nice. And then we go, they can't fucking decide if they're happy or mad. They're fucking emo.
Yeah.
But anyway, she would be stoked.
You know what happens when people listen to Linkin Park and what's that other, Limp Bizkit, and then want to form a band?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess those guys kind of do that too a little bit, but it's a little bit more emo on the soft side and a little bit more death metal. Like, it's like... So actually, I get fooled sometimes when I hear this noise coming from my daughter's bedroom, and it sounds like a death metal band, like they're doing double bass and blast beats and killer sounding riffs. And then, rah, 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 I'm a fucking bear. Rah, bear noises. And then, break it down for the chorus, because I love you, yeah. Really high singing, sounds like a girl, but it's a guy, yeah.
That's weird.
It is. It's a genre, and it exists. I'm sad to say, but hey, at least they're half fucking rocking.
Yeah, but you know what they will never achieve, though? The fame of Billy Joel.
Nope.
You know, he's the sixth best-selling recording artist in the United States.
What?
And the third best-selling solo artist.
In the United States?
Uh-huh.
The Beatles?
Greatest Hits Volume 1 and 2, that compilation album. Third best-selling album in the U.S. by discs shipped.
I got one shipped to me through the BMG Music Corporation.
Yeah.
It's a good CD. I love it.
He achieved 33 top 40 hits in the U.S., all of which he wrote himself.
Well, there you go. You can think of a ton of them. I can. You know, you got Big Shot.
Oh, yeah.
You got My Life.
Oh, yeah. He wrote them all himself.
He's a piano man.
He is. But did he write the instrumentation for all the other stuff that's going on in there, too?
Well, as a pianist, and me being a pianist myself, when you write a song, they're going to play. Now, I don't know if he wrote parts for them or if he just said it's in this key and this is what you're going to play. I'm sure he didn't write the drum beats, but he probably said this is the beat that I want to. You know, so I guess in that situation, when you're the leader of the band and your band is your name, and you wrote the songs, including the melody and the chord progression, the rest is all just filler, you know? I'm sure he didn't write the saxophone solos.
No.
All right, no,
but he could just go up there with the piano and just go, all right, this is what I'm going to play it once, and then, you know, the studio musicians that they are, they probably all just jam exactly what he wants the first time, right?
Maybe. Or he could have, well, he had a band that was pretty much his touring band and in the 70s that was recording, and who knows? He was musically inclined enough to maybe go, when you get to the saxophone solo, I wanted to go, you know, he could have sang the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd like it to follow the melody line.
And don't fucking go. He could have been a Frank Zappa. You never know. But I know he wasn't writing out. I know that those guys weren't reading music by any means. I saw him on Saturday Night Live a couple times. And even in the 80s, you know, he got with the Start the Fire and Still Rock and Roll to Me and You Might Be Crazy. And fucking, I loved all those songs.
I'm looking up
Billy Joel.
His current members are three eight-piece. An eight-piece.
Okay. Billy Joel is one of the few, well, not the few, because I just am musically touched by music sometimes, you know, but there's one song by Billy Joel that really, like, kind of reminds me of my mom a lot, and when I listen to it, I'll cry sometimes. Like, I'll just be hearing the song, and the next thing I know, I'm just, like, crying. But I'm not, you know, it's just the music. I don't know. Sometimes I'll hear a song. Like, there's a couple of the new Queens of the Stone Age that evoke that kind of emotion. Not that I'm just sitting around listening to music and crying all the time, you guys.
Yeah.
But you guys should know, if any music lovers out there, you just feel the emotion in the song. But Billy Joel's one of them, because I listened to a lot of Billy Joel growing up, and my parents trying to
force me, but
really pushing me to be a piano player.
You know who Chuck Berge is?
The inventor of Berge beer?
No, he...
Jennifer Wambacher's
he's
dad.
He's the drummer of the Billy Joel band, but he has played with Rainbow, Blue Oyster Cult, Meatloaf, Bon Jovi, Fandango, and Enrique Iglesias.
Well, I always skip the light Fandango.
And Al Di Meola, and Hall & Oates.
And?
Nope, that's all I'm
doing. Okay. Well, he's got quite a resume.
Yeah, he does. He was a member of the Onstage band when... Twyla Tharp, the Billy Joel hit musical, Moving Out.
Love that song.
I'm moving out.
And the weird thing about that song, my wife doesn't like to hear that song because it scared her as a child.
Oh, really?
They had went to a scary movie. I believe she said it was Phantasm at the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And as they were leaving the drive-in, that song was playing. And it also has the part and the breakdown in the middle where they've got the car going.
It is kind of a down kind of a song like that, though.
Yeah, it's in a minor key, and it's kind of scary. And so, like, she has a flashback. I used to love to sing that song at karaoke, but I could only do it on the nights when she was absent.
Yeah. He's got a lot of catchy hits, though, man.
Oh, big
time.
You know,
I enjoyed many songs. Piano Man, Fading, as one of them.
Fading, yeah. Well, it was his first hit. We're talking, like, 1972.
Well, so, yeah.
That was, like, 40
years. You know, it was one of those songs that the radio kind of drilled into the ground.
Yep.
You know, and... You hear the first few notes and the song plays in your head in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't know. And then he got more rockin', it seemed, because he had like Big Shot. And well, he always had a nice ballad, though, you know.
Yeah.
She's always a woman to me.
Yeah.
It's like some of the honesty. Billy Joel, hit after hit. I didn't know he was the
33.
I didn't know he was the third top
solo album artist of in the U.S.
Insane.
That is.
Of course he's worked hard for
it. He has that kind of staying power.
Stain?
Staying power. He'll stain the sheets.
I wonder if he smokes weed. Do you think he's a weed smoker?
I don't know. He's probably a bigger drinker, I think. Seems like a drinker.
Yeah.
He's always playing at the piano.
Didn't he do some stupid shit, like, sometime?
Probably a cokehead, I'm sure.
Like, I have in a flashback of, well, because he was married to Christy Brinkley, remember?
He was married to a different model before that, I think.
Yeah, too. And I think he did some fucking crazy drunk-ass shit, something that got in the news like 10 or 20 years ago or something, but haven't we all? I just wanted to know if he smokes weed or not. And how old is he?
Well, if I type in Billy Joe COC, it says Billy Joel cocaine.
Of course it does.
And then... it goes to a website that said Billy Joel is addicted to crack cocaine.
Okay. He's hanging out with Ike Willis. Yeah.
He checked in one time for substance abuse in 2002, cocaine. and alcohol, I would imagine.
Huh. Is he like 60, 65?
Oh, easily.
Well, I just typed in Billy Joel smoke, and it says, does Billy Joel smoke weed?
Does he?
Well, that was the thing, the autofill that came up.
No?
There's a couple different sites.
He's probably smoked it at one time or another.
I'm sure he has. I was just wondering, as an older gentleman,
yeah,
if he was still a weed smoker. But it reminds me, and he's from like New Jersey or something, isn't he?
The Bronx or something, isn't he?
Oh, New York. New Jersey. Yeah, New York area probably. Well, out in New Brunswick, New Jersey, police seized... Oh, wait. No, not New Brunswick. New Brunswick, Canada. Sorry. But I still want to read the story. The police said they seized 55 marijuana plants from a nursing home. An old folks home after a fire broke out in the building.
What?
Yep. The building caught on fire because of the growing operation.
Oh, well, that's not good for them.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said they were alerted to the operation by firefighters who responded to a fire at the Forever Young facility in central New Brunswick Thursday night, said the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Firefighters spotted the plants and alerted police, who obtained a search warrant and seized the plants. Now, this is an odd statement. Investigators said that the plants were enough to roll about 275,000 joints. What the fuck? What kind of a gauge is that? They don't even say how many pounds, or it was 55 plants, and they said no arrests were reported, but you could have rolled about 275,000 joints. I guess that's how, like, the metric system in Canada, they use.
How many plants is it now?
55 plants.
All right, so I'm 275,000. 55. You're talking about. All right, that's 5, right? Yeah, that's 5,000
joints per plant.
Per plant.
Okay.
Do you think that's accurate?
No. Maybe if you could roll seeds and not seeds, but stems and stalks and everything, because I heard a few bus, they just put the plants into a wood chipper with the fucking root ball and everything, and then they weigh that. They just weigh the whole pile.
This one, they're saying 55 plants, though.
Yeah, 55 plants.
So they're saying 5,000...
Well, 55 plants, you're going to get...
How much per plant are you going to get?
I just talked to a friend who dropped this off as a sample from down southern Oregon, who just said he did a 24-plant crop and got 51 pounds. So it's almost 2 pounds per plant, approximately 2 pounds per plant.
All right, so how many?
So 55.
How many
it'd be
joints,
110 pound.
How many?
Would be
how 110 many joints. Do you think you could get out of an eighth?
I've never. Well, a lot of people roll 1 gram joints.
All right.
It takes, if you're gonna cut up a
1 gram joints. How many grams are in a pound then?
454. In a quarter pound, wait, 28, it's 454 grams in a pound. So that'd be maybe 500 joints per pound, 110 pounds.
You would need to get 2,500, though, if you're talking 2 pounds per plant.
Yeah.
You would need to get 2,500 per pound.
2,500 joints?
Yeah, so you'd get 2,500.
You could roll pinners
by 16, which would be 160. Let's say 160 joints in an ounce. That's what that would come to.
So 20 joints an eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking bullshit, dude. That's just like they said the street value was probably fucking 80 million. No, I don't even know. But this, maybe Adrian would know why. The whole story talks about they went to the fire. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said they were alerted to the operation. Firefighters spotted the plants and alerted the police. Investigators said the plants were enough to roll about 275,000 joints. No arrests were reported. Back to you, Jade. Jade? What the fuck? Who's Jade? Is that the other reporter on this show?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to you, Jade.
So you could actually only roll, you couldn't even roll 500 joints in a pound then if you're rolling grammars.
No. And a gram isn't that fat.
I mean, so you're talking about 1,000 probably joints in a plant.
I mean, I rolled a 2.5 gram blunt the other night for some friends that were over.
Mm-hmm.
We smoked it too, but they just brought this big pile of bud and they said, yeah, here's a blunt wrap. Could you do this for us? And just chop it up with the scissors. And it was probably almost an eighth. It might have been 2.5, 3 grams. I can't afford to do that, but that was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It was about five of us, and we smoked it. And God, by the time it was done, the fucking whole house was just fogged in. But it had that, like maybe Bunk was there smoking a cigar,
because
it's got that. It was a Swisher Sweet, but it was one of those that we had to. It was a pretty fatty, but I had to take the tobacco out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like those. That's not an actual blunt wrap. That's just a cigar.
Yeah. You just need to get some tobacco leaves.
So, yeah, they should have said about 100,000 blunts could have been rolled. So we smoke. Not joints. What are you talking about? What is this, 1980? Jesus Christ.
Could you just use any old leaf off a plant, though, to roll a blunt instead of just like a tobacco leaf?
I don't know how they make tobacco leaves into paper.
Well, I think they just like dry and moisten and work them until they can.
Because usually it's like a pattern of a rolled pattern on the ones, and it was coming apart a little bit as I was kind of trying to roll the tobacco out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It started to come apart, and I kind of had to. That's also the weird thing about smoking a blunt, because you know you're smoking whoever rolled its saliva a lot of it, because you really got to like Snoop Dogg it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I call it that, but.
Does burnt saliva have any effects, though?
It has no smell and no flavor, but it will kill you. No, I don't know. I was telling those people down in Medford about the people in Portland, Maine, legalizing marijuana, and it was news to them.
Really?
And it was news to me, and I didn't check up on it, so I trusted you, and I said, yeah, Google that shit. It's true.
Uh-huh, and somebody Googled it?
No. After the show, actually, the host got up there and said thanks to and he said something about, because one of the sponsors of the show was Smokey J's Delivery, which is a compassion center delivery service that will deliver you treats and medicine to your house. But he was like, who would have thunk that Portland, Maine would legalize marijuana before Portland, Oregon?
Yep.
And I said, yeah. Hope that's true. I'm sure it is. I have no reason to doubt it.
Me either. There's another recent, this is from November 7th in Denver. They're just saying that voters backed a heavy tax on recreational marijuana, which was made legal here last year.
I'm sure they did. They want to fucking tax the shit out of that. Give us crappy weed. Charge an arm and a leg for it.
Voters in 3 Michigan cities approved measures legalizing the possession of up to an ounce of marijuana by adults on private property.
Huh.
And, of course, the Portland, Maine legalizing possession of up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana by adults over 21. They're the first East Coast city to pass such a law.
2.5 ounces. That's pretty sweet.
So the 3 cities, Michigan cities, have recently passed it after Detroit and Flint, Michigan, passed similar measures.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, by gosh, by golly.
Yeah, and in Colorado, the heavy tax, I don't like that term, having a heavy tax on it.
Well, that's when you're buying it from
the state.
Yeah.
But they're going to come down heavier on private purchases, though,
right.
when the state's not getting their money.
Yeah.
But
so what I wonder is...
But the tax will pay for the state's marijuana industry and school construction.
Are you allowed to grow it?
I don't know.
See, because then I guess you would only be able to buy it from retailers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they'd want. It'd
legally.
Like, it'd be much like cigarettes or yeah. alcohol, which they don't allow you to... is it legal to make your own alcohol?
Up to a certain amount.
All right.
I read you can brew up to a certain amount.
Well, I guess you can make your own beer. I guess I was meant grain.
But
alcohol.
Only a certain amount.
Yeah.
Even with beer, I mean, mm-hmm. legally, you're only supposed to brew a certain
yeah.
amount if you're,
yeah.
you know. I came across that information.
They're only going to really crack down, though, if you're trying to sell it, I
right,
think.
Right.
You know, because then they're not getting their money.
Like, if you're just an alcoholic and you're just making
yeah.
a bunch.
Yeah, if you're just drinking it yourself or, you know, making a batch for Christmas or whatever, you know, keeping friends and family imbibing.
I'm thinking that this crazy Swede, I got a crazy Swede story for us. I'm thinking that this guy might have been
That's
imbibing.
A character on...
crazy Swede?
Mm-hmm.
That's a character on a show?
Hell on Wheels.
All right, well,
actually, it's just the Swede, but he's pretty fucking crazy.
We got the crazy Swede. We've been doing it for a while.
Yep.
This is in Karlskrona.
What?
Karlskrona, Sweden.
Carl Scrotum.
It looks like Carl Scrona.
Carl Scrotum.
Carl Scrotum, Sweden. They arrested a man accused of thrusting his genitalia through the mail slot of a woman he did not know. Apparently, if you know her, it might be okay. But investigators said that the 50-year-old southern Sweden woman noticed a man following her while she was walking home, and she heard a noise coming from her front door a short while after she arrived in her house. The woman investigated the sound and discovered the man sticking his penis through her mail slot. The man fled the scene when the woman opened the door. Police said the same man allegedly exposed himself to a woman on the street the following day. He's been charged with 2 counts of sexual assault, and he faces minor drug charges after traces of amphetamines were found in his blood. So maybe he wasn't drunk, he was on crank.
Yeah, so he just went around
sticking
raping.
My dick wherever I can get it. Mm-hmm. He's like, that lady's cute, I'm following her home. What should I do? She just went in her house.
Yep.
Well, let me go stick my dick in the mail slot, see if she might suck it. Is that a glory hole? That's the first rectangular glory hole I've ever seen. It's a glory slot.
Yep.
So that is crazy. And another thing about those Swedes, we talked about it months ago.
I kept imagining, though, that this was an outdoor mailbox until about 5 seconds ago.
No, it's her house door.
I know. You know, and then I realized what you were saying.
Yeah. And so in Kiruna, Sweden, we talked about this before. They have the ice hotel. I think we talked about it last winter.
Oh, yeah, man. I'd like to not go there.
So not only has this been around since 1990, and they rebuild it every year, of course, because, well, it would melt. But now, here's a funny twist on the story 23 years later. Officials in Sweden have ordered the hotel to install fire alarms under the National Housing Board rules. Fire alarms in the ice hotel. That's not funny.
I don't see how
it's just a rule, so they just think that they should have to follow all the rules, which is basically them saying, give us more money so you can install it. Kind of like a Stringer
yeah.
Bell. It's kind of like Stringer Bell's running into paying $250,000 to get his housing development going on. They just keep saying, you got my money in one hand and your dick in the other. What the fuck, man? How much is it going to take?
Because they want their money from that drug stuff.
That's right. So the people at this ice hotel, which is it's built every year using chunks of frozen water, which I would call ice, chunks of frozen water from the Torne River, which is weird. But they were a little surprised when they found out. We do understand safety is primarily a concern for us. There are indeed things that can catch fire, like the reindeer skins.
Mm-hmm.
The mattresses and the pillows. Apparently you get reindeer skins for blankets is what I'm imagining after they say that those are the 3 things that can catch fire.
Yeah.
The
thing would melt, though, and so it would be...
The water would put it out.
Well, would that happen, or would it the bricks just like start coming down and hitting people on the head?
I don't know. I don't know how they, if they melt all the bricks together and they just become one.
I don't know. You'd think it'd be like a mortar kind of a deal where you're putting the bricks and then you're kind of melting it together like a weld.
Yeah. They say that every hotel is brand new every year and there's always something different and new to think about. This year is no different. We actually have a few prizes in store, surprises in store. So that I guess they're going to conform to it. And
no, you might as well.
Don't you think it'd be super? Well, that's a stupid question. It'd be super cold in there. You couldn't really have
heat. Yeah, you would think you'd want a fire in there.
You couldn't have heaters, though, because the place would melt.
No, you couldn't.
If it got above 32 degrees.
You just walk around with the with your reindeer skin all strapped over you.
I don't think it could perform well sexually in 32 degrees. It's like, is this not a motel for, you rent this out by the hour here?
I think it would probably be warmer, actually, if you slept
I'm cold just
on
thinking about
top
it.
Of the reindeer skin.
Well, you right. might have one under you and one above you.
Yeah.
Well, they said the pillows, the reindeer skins, and what else was it? Shit. Oh, the mattresses. They have mattresses. They have mattresses.
You'd have to, because if you just laid in one spot, your body heat would eventually melt in a hole.
I wonder if they have coolers going, like an
into
AC.
Your
AC going
they
in there.
They probably do.
Or maybe it's like sub-zero temperatures at that point in the winter in Sweden. Maybe it's like 10 below zero.
Yeah.
So when you're nice and warm inside when it's 30.
Yeah, just because you don't have the wind whipping
you're
on
like,
you.
You're like, cool, it's 40 degrees warmer in here.
It probably is, yeah, because of the wind chill factor.
Dude,
because
when I went
that.
To Montana, it was 10 below zero. And it was fucking ridiculously cold. Mm-hmm. That's the coldest weather I've ever been in.
Yeah? Was it windy?
No. Well, I don't know. We didn't go out much. Huh? We stayed in the house. Anytime you walked on anything, it was like crunch, crunch, crunch. It was just like a tundra, dude. Fucking ice everywhere. It's weird. It's cold. I didn't like it. I had a cold. It was cold. My ears were fucked up. It's a bad memory. Let's not talk about it.
All right.
I'm just kidding. So that's our quasi Swedes for today. Oh, I did have a dickhead driver of the week, which we haven't had him for a while. YHM936, Oregon plate. Feels the need to fucking zoom up and pass me on the right and like pop into about a 3-car length space in the fast lane where we're already going fucking 70, dude. And the reason that I'm not riding their ass is because there's 3 cars in front of them and they're not speeding up. So he fucking gets in front of me and then fucking slows down. And then I wanted to ram him. I rode his ass closer than I should have. It was dangerous. I realized that at this point. But sometimes, dickhead driver of the week, you pull in front of me, I'm going to fucking go in my big fucking projector movie van and fucking ride your ass and make you think that you're an idiot. And I was talking. I wasn't over enunciating. You know how if you want someone to know what you're saying when they can't hear you, you over enunciate with your lips so they can fucking read them? I was going, that really got you a long ways, didn't it? It pissed me off to where I was talking to him and I knew he couldn't hear me. He could barely hear me if he was sitting in the seat next to me because my van's so loud.
But. You were road raging a little bit.
I was.
Imagine that probably might have scared him a little bit
it
in the van
have.
Went with the
pentagrams. And then I rammed up on him. Like, and he had like 3 cars in front of him, and he was riding the person in front of him at less, probably just 1 car length. And they're going 70, 71, 72, somewhere around there. And so I was. I like to have a little space because when you're going 70, fucking anything can happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're rear ending someone and it's your fault. So
that's the golden rule of driving.
Yeah. Right? So he just thinks, not only that, he rode my ass for a while before that and then fucking went, zipped out around me and popped in my little safety buffer. Made me fucking slow down. Oh man. So look out for him. It's a blue vehicle, dark blue. I can't remember what. I couldn't see them making
money. Watch out for all dark blue vehicles.
No, license plate. This is how I remembered it. It was YHM. You hate me. YHM 936. Because I didn't have a pen. I didn't want to fuck with my phone because I've been trying not to. Well, I still do text when I'm driving sometimes, but that's besides the point. So that's Dickhead Driver of the Week. We're covering all kinds of sections today.
I have a question for you. First, I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
I like stories, and I may or may not have an answer for you.
There's a place in Pennsylvania. It's the Balroy Mansion. It was built in 1911, and it's had many artifacts in there. It's accrued many artifacts of monetary and historical importance.
Okay.
And the items once belonged to Thomas Jefferson, for instance, some of them.
A slave? Just kidding. Is there
Yeah, it was. They got the slave there.
The preserved slaves?
Yeah.
Once owned by Thomas Jefferson.
But apparently it's spooky because it has ghosts in there.
Ah, ghosts, schmosts.
Yep. One of the guys who died in 2005 once claimed to have seen the ghost of Thomas Jefferson himself and also Thomas Jefferson.
Well, what were those guys doing?
They were just hanging out, I guess.
Me and Jamas go way back.
There's a blue room in there, though, and it has a chair of death. The chair is a 200-year-old chair. Ooh. It's like a wing chair with blue upholstery.
Right.
Some say belonged to Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
Inventor of ice cream. But apparently, paranormal investigators believe a female ghost haunts the chair.
All right.
The spectral Amelia, they'd call her. It is said whenever Amelia is present, a blue mist descends upon the room, and that anyone who is brave enough to sit in the chair when the spirit is in attendance will die suddenly.
Holy shit. And so that's happened before?
To this day, four people have poo-pooed the claim and sat in the chair.
Poo-pooed it?
Mm-hmm. They all perished.
From what? Just the chair?
Would you sit in the chair? That is my question.
Four people recently have died? Or was that a long time ago?
Well, a chair is 200 years old.
Okay.
To this day, four people
to this day
have sat in the chair and those very same people perished. That's what it says.
Okay. Would I sit in the chair?
Yeah. Would you poo-poo it?
Poo-poo. I'd shit in the chair.
Oh, there it is.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't be allowed to by my significant other, but, like, I don't know.
It would be one way to see if ghosts are real.
Why tempt fate, right?
Yeah.
Why try to die so early?
There's also, there's been a couple movies made on this chick.
I guess maybe I would look more into the authenticity of the stories of the people who died.
Uh-huh.
And then if I believe...
Well, yeah. It could be like they drove a Ford, they died eventually. Right.
Yeah. Everybody who sits in this chair to this day has died.
Mm-hmm. There's also an urban legend. There's been a few movies made about this chick in Japan. And she walks up to children... And she asks them, am I pretty? And if they say yes, she removes her surgical mask on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And her mouth is slit, like, from ear to ear.
Okay.
And then she'll ask the child again, am I still pretty? And if the child answers no, the child is killed with a pair of scissors.
By the lady?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
If the child answers yes, the woman pulls away... if the child says yes, the woman pulls away her masks and says, how about now? And then if the child says no, she'll be cut in half.
With the scissors?
Mm-hmm. And if the child answers yes, then she will slit the child's mouth like hers.
You cut me half real good, Dewey.
Yep. And it is impossible to run away.
I would go ahead and say that that is probably an urban legend.
Yep.
And a myth. You've heard, I heard of another urban legend or a myth the other day about a thing called drop bears.
Drop bears?
Drop.
Drop bears?
Yeah, they live in Australia.
Oh, they drop on you?
Yeah, out of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a mix between some weird dog and a koala bear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not true. Drop bears.
Drop bears.
It's kind of like snipe hunting. Did your parents ever used to take you snipe hunting when you was a kid?
No. I remember wanting to take somebody snipe hunting, and we were all going to take them snipe hunting, and then that snipe episode came up on King of the Hill while we were all over at his house watching it.
Well, did they take Bobby snipe hunting?
Yeah. It was like very early on. They took him,
My grandparents, my grandpa used to take my dad and the other kids snipe hunting down on the river. And it was basically just a time for the parents to be able to relax around a fire on the river while the kids were scouring the bushes for an animal that didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I heard one right up there. Go up and check in the bushes there, boy. There's a snipe up in there, I'm sure of it. They're mean suckers.
I don't think they took Bobby out snipe hunting. I think they took Bill or one of the other guys out snipe hunting. And I think that's what was going on.
See, usually it's got to be a kid so they'll believe you. But if it was Bill, I could imagine him believing it.
If you do see the slip-mouthed woman, though, there are apparently, in the 70s, rumors of ways to escape emerged. Like, you can ask the question, you are average, and she'll get confused, and you can run away.
Oh.
Or you can throw candies down at her feet, which she'll have to then pick up.
If she did that to me, I would say, you're fucking hot.
Mm-hmm.
And what would she say? That's basically saying, you're still pretty.
Yeah.
Am I pretty?
You can also ask her the same question yourself, and apparently she'll get confused. But there's movies called Carved. There's a bunch of Japanese movies that are made upon this urban Japanese legend.
Weird.
It is weird. Urban legends are weird.
There's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any around here.
Really?
I mean,
I wonder if there are local urban legends.
Remember that movie, Urban Legends?
Yeah, but I don't remember watching it. I remember watching it, but I don't remember what was in it.
Everybody
kept dying from urban legends, right?
Yeah, one of the first scenes was an urban legend I heard of a long time ago as a kid, which was, it's not even an urban legend. It was just a story about a couple in a park or something making out in the car, and then the boyfriend gets out to go to the bathroom, and then he's taken forever, and then... she hears what she thought was a branch scraping on the top of the car, and then when she gets out, it's actually her boyfriend dead, hanging from the tree, scraping on the car.
Ooh!
And that was the first scene in Urban Legend, one of the first scenes in that movie. And I remember that story as like a haunted, scary story, like when kids used to sit around with a flashlight under their chin in a dark room and tell a spooky story, try to get everybody scared. But I don't know. Urban legends usually are about a certain person in a certain area, right?
I think
Something like that.
I don't know. They're just in the urban. Like, there's suburban legends and there's urban legends.
See, so nowadays, wouldn't it be like Tupac? He's an urban legend, right?
Yeah.
Maybe fucking Biggie. Biggie, he's an urban legend. It's just people who are urban.
Urban.
I wonder if they get offended by, hey, check out my urban friend. He gets mad when I use the N-word, so I've been calling him the U-word.
What about, isn't that like a shorter suburban, the car?
Suburbs, that'd be like, a suburban dude would maybe be like half black. No, you know, the suburbs, they're outlying areas. Urban is like the big city.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, for some reason, people refer to, like, black people as urban.
I don't know.
What I call it is when I'm smoking a lot of weed, I'm urban it up. Hey, you want to do some urban? We'll smoke some herb. And
did you know, one winter, Paul Bunyan came to log along the Little Gimlet in Oregon?
Stop saying those weird words. Say that again. Wait, at the Gimlet?
Along the Little Gimlet in Oregon.
What the fuck is a Little Gimlet?
I don't know.
You seriously don't?
No, I don't. I don't know what Little Gimlet is.
Yeah, see, this is getting absurd.
It is.
And that's good, because today, Wednesday, November 20th, is National Absurdity Day.
Is it?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about absurd shit. But I'm not going to go. I'm just going to say this. Joe Walsh today, birthday. I saw a thing on TV. He's getting old, and now I know how old he is.
67.
Fuck, you're good these days, but that's off by one. 66, Joe Walsh is today. He spent the last year Rocky Mountain Way. He couldn't get much higher.
Yeah, that's true.
He's out to pasture, I think it's safe to say.
He came out with an album not too long ago, didn't
he? No, I'm just kidding. That was lyrics from one of his old songs.
Yeah.
It was funny. Also, Hans was recently listening to this guy, Frank Marino. Not recently, but months ago. And we talked about Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush. Remember talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I included him. There's lots of birthdays going on in case anybody knows, but I just pick people that I like a little bit.
54.
He's 59. Pretty good. You're doing good on your guesses. And let's see if you even know who this... He's kind of an urban legend. Sendog. He's a rapper from a very pot-based rap group that achieved pretty good success. Yeah.
That one?
It's that dude, the guy that doesn't say anything in Cypress Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, insane got no bean. I don't do no rapping because I got this guy named B-Real and he does all the rapping and then I just say, hello, hey, hello, ho. I don't know how he got that gig. He must have just been his buddy. He wore that weird fucking hat that's like a fisher hat, but like a fashionable fisherman's hat. And he it's from the bong. He's like, all you got to do is just use that weird voice and just say the name of the song every time we get to it.
Yeah.
He's like,
when I'm not saying something, say something.
As we take hits from the bong. Hits from the bong.
How do they sit around and write that?
I don't know, but he's 48. He's 48. I don't know how old B-Real is, but also, B-Real. Don't care about him, but he does. The writers make it funny. My wife watches The Soup sometimes. Joel McHale, also from Community. A lot of people like that show. He's a little older than I thought.
22.
Yeah. What?
43.
42. I thought you were being serious at first. I was like, man. I saw him on an old show from like Showtime or something from 96.
Really?
That just goes to show you, everybody's struggling and paying their dues for a long time before they become.
I can't believe he wasn't in McHale's Navy.
I know. I think he was that guy's son, actually. Also, local comedian today, same birthday as Joel McHale, down to the fucking year. Happy 42nd birthday to Lonnie Brune, a comedian who recently, last year, did a Kickstarter thing and achieved his goal of, I think it was $2,800 to do his DVD taping. We talked about that. He's got a podcast, too, From the Nook. You should check that out, Lonnie Brune. It's spelled Brune, B-R-U-H-N, but all of his friends call him Bruin. So I guess it's pronounced Bruin, because why would his close friends all call him that? You'd think he'd correct them. I've heard him announced as Lonnie Bruin.
Want to.
Lonnie Bruin. He has a little bit of a disability, like MS or MD or MDC or... RM Run DMC. I don't know. He's got something where he's kind of fucked up. And something wrong with his fucking legs. Yeah, old Sendog. Give it up for Sendog. That's absurd. National Absurdity Day. Hans, I think you should listen to some fucking Cypress Hill once in a while.
That noise was in every song, wasn't it?
Pretty much. And then you did like a 20-second. Beat one time with that FL Studios, and that had that in
it. Did.
You're like, I know how to make a beat. It's fucking Cypress Hill, motherfuckers. You keep looking out the window. Are you seeing your own reflection out the window?
I don't know what's going on. I'm just looking out there.
I kept thinking that someone was pulling up right about now.
Well, yeah, that's because there was lights coming towards us.
Headlights?
Yeah.
A chick. It was a chick with no bra.
I was looking out the window.
It was a chick with no bra. Somebody was talking about headlights and something. Oh, my daughter hit a deer, Dana's daughter, our daughter, Acacia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right where you wouldn't think anyone would hit a deer. Say you're coming in from the freeway to Brownsville on Highway 228, right where it turns to 45 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Deer. She just slowed down, almost missed it, but just hit its butt with, like, her passenger side headlight. And all it did was, like, break the lens of the headlight and get a little poop on her bumper. There was some deer poop. She knocked the shit out of that thing.
Wow. It must have been
it was boinging,
ready to go.
Well, it was boinging across the thing like this, and it boinged in front of her, and then she slowed down and just caught its back hip enough to knock the shit out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're...
scared the shit out of it.
Sometimes when you got to go, you know, and you just don't want to stop moving, and that's what that deer was in. He's like, I got to get home, man. Home stool advantage. That's what that deer was thinking. He's like, fuck it. If I stop now, I'm going to shit myself. Got to go.
This might be the first appearance of the phrase home stool advantage, and I'd forgotten about that, and I can't believe that we haven't said that before. That's thanks to
Hans.
No, thanks to Pat Wambacher. He's the one who I thought coined the home stool advantage.
Hey, you may have.
Is that the first person you heard it?
I do not recall where the first time I heard that is.
Al Minta. Hey, Hans, do you prefer a home stool advantage? Or do you?
Who doesn't?
Do you take your shirt completely off when you take a dump and forget to put it back on and you come out into the party? What are you doing? Oh, I forgot to put my shirt back on. Dang it. Today, Hans is listening to The Accused. Hans, you should go with us. Me and some people, I hope, if they don't back out on me, are supposed to go see Toe Tag, and they're going to be playing some Accused songs on December 7th.
Nice.
You should go with Wehrmacht and Spawn. But Hans, Grinning Like an Undertaker, great album. I've listened to that recently. But I'm going to have to think now on the spot. I was listening to something that I hadn't heard for a long time just the other day. Oh, it was the i5 Killer CD. That was what was in my CD player. And I heard a band that I forgot. There was a lot of shitty bands on there. Cherry Pop and Daddies were on there before they were so swingy, when they used to be kind of funky.
Before they had that one major hit and decided to write all their songs in that style?
Yeah. Oh, that's what's going to sell? We'll just write all songs like that. But no, it was kind of funky and rocky, and some other bands like Saliva Tree. That's a weird name for a band, Saliva Tree.
Yeah.
Hazel. Hitting Birth. That was one of my favorite tracks, and the Void track. But I just remembered the review in some local publication for the i5 Killer CD, and it had raving reviews for most all the bands on there, except for Void, who said that we were... quote unquote, duh metal. Like, duh. Like, we were DUH dash metal.
That sounds like a duh review.
We were duh metal, and we weren't even listenable as a joke. Which we loved that because we knew that the person who was writing that must have been some kind of a idiot.
Yeah.
If they say bad things about. And criticism is great, it's good to get some bad feedback every once in a while.
Yeah, that's not really constructive, though.
You don't think so? That's not constructive?
Duh, metal.
Duh. Oh, it's a good song, too. We're bringing it into the set list. It's called Obstructed. It was recorded when we recorded the stuff for our 93 album, and we saved it because Mike Jones from Schizophonic was releasing that i5 Killers. And he put us on there, and we were the only metal band on there. And maybe that's why. Maybe
that's
the person was like, oh, I love Saliva Tree.
I know.
Marble Orchard.
Hazel is the next Nirvana.
Marble Orchard and Hitting Birth. All these bands from Portland and stuff in the 90s were like.
Why didn't Hazel get bigger than Nirvana?
No, I just thought of that. That must be a graveyard, a Marble Orchard. What else would you think a Marble Orchard is?
That is.
But we were fucking Void. It didn't even have dots. It just said Void. And that's disturbing because there was another band of great importance from the 80s that everybody loves called Void.
Yep.
But we didn't know about because there was no internet or anything.
Yeah, there was no internet.
There wasn't. And actually the singer from Brutal Truth said, Void. I'm talking about my brain, not the killer band. And Dana said, was he talking about your band? And I said, no, he was talking about the other Void that people know. But yeah, I guess he had a Void in his brain recently.
Void.
Kevin Sharp had a void in his brain.
Did they take it out?
No, he went into it. Into the void.
Huh?
Devoid of meaning.
That would be tough to go inside your own brain. But Dennis Quaid did it.
In Frequency?
No, he did it in Inner Space.
Oh, what was was he in Frequency? Yeah,
well, I don't know what that is.
It's a movie about him going back in time through a ham radio, I think. I don't know what I was talking about.
No, this one he got real small and went up his nose.
He went up his own nose?
Yeah.
Wait, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of thing?
It was a Disney-style movie just before that time.
Oh, man. That reminds me of a Saturday Night Live skit where somebody was telling some story and he said, yeah, could shrink my... Or he made up some story and it was a total scenario of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. And they're like, dude, that was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And he's like, what's that?
Yep.
It's a movie.
Yeah, this was 1987. Dennis Quaid, Martin Short, Meg Ryan, Kevin McCarthy. A hapless store clerk must foil criminals to save the life of a man who miniaturized in a secret experiment was accidentally injected into him. So some guy miniaturized himself and then was injected into the hapless store clerk, and he has to go back inside to save himself.
How could you go in your own nose, though?
I don't know.
Because if you were shrunk, you wouldn't be big anymore.
Yeah. He was a hypochondriac, too. He feels something's wrong with him all the time. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was a Disney movie in 87. When did Honey, I Shrunk the Flids flum out?
Probably around then, or 83, 84. And Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. And Honey, Shrunk the Fucking House.
I Blew Up the Kids. Remember that?
Yep.
And then he...
Honey, I Shrunk My Penis.
Kids. Honey, I Shrunk Kids, 89.
Honey, I Shrunk My Penis.
Yep. Was that the most astonishing, innovative backyard adventure of all time?
Maybe at the time, but not now of all time.
Mm-hmm.
By far, we've advanced past shrinking ourselves and blowing up children.
That had Rick Moranis in it.
Yeah. And I liked him from Bob and Doug. He was awesome. Yep. And
if
Doug,
you like that movie, though, you would like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's true.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Uh-huh.
And Muppets from Space.
Yep. That's true. I've watched all those at some point, but haven't watched them for a long time because, well, I don't know. Outgrew them, I guess. I don't know. Hey, don't forget to go visit our great sponsor, Pizza Now. They're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street here in Albany, Oregon. Call them up, 541-928-0900. There's no O's in the number. I don't know why I started to say that. But, hey, they've got great $5 pizzas that are ready right now. Just pull up, go in there and get it. Or they'll deliver it to you. It was a minimum order of $15 and a $2.50 delivery fee. So for under $20, just throw in a 2-liter there. You got three pizzas and a 2-liter to your door for $20. It's an astonishing deal. I don't even see how they stay in business. But yeah, Pizza Now.
That is a great deal.
I know, dude. You can get a sausage, a cheese, and a pepperoni, one of each, and your favorite beverage, $20. Give them the 25 cents extra for a tip. You're good. $20, a nice night. You could have some friends over, watch The Princess Bride.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Have a good movie night.
That is a good pizza movie night.
Three pizzas will feed at least two people.
You could also watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which was originally titled Teeny Weenies.
Oh, but the execs didn't go for that.
They said it sounded too much like a kiddies film.
Well, that's funny because... I just said that I had that other movie called Honey, I Shrunk My Penis, which was originally supposed to be called Teeny Weenie.
you know who? Two guys turned down the role, the Rick Moranis' role. Can you name one of them?
1989. I'm going to say Bill Murray and James Hetfield.
Oh, you were so close on that last one.
James Hetfield?
Yep, you were. You very well were.
Because his name's James?
Nope.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
It starts with a J. I will say one guy was on SNL and one guy was on SCTV.
Oh, John Candy.
Ah, okay. Yep. That was the one that was close to James.
That is close to James Hetfield. John Candy and James Hetfield are like brothers. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the other one must have been not Bill Murray, which was close because he was also on Saturday Night Live. Dan Aykroyd.
Yep, this guy was probably too busy doing his movie Christmas Vacation to do this movie because it was
Ford Chase.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Ford Fairlane and Chevy Chase. Those
That'd
guys
be a great,
didn't get along.
Dude, I think that they should do a tour. The Chevy versus Ford tour.
Yep.
Hi.
John Candy was the one who suggested Rick Moranis for the role.
Well, they had their comeuppance together, you mm-hmm. know, their SCTV.
Yep.
Strange Brew had just came out in like 85, and that was kind of dying out. The McKenzie brothers
Strange
were.
Brew.
There's a dog in my room. That's what they should do. Strange Brew. You do the theme. Okay, we're going to play Beer Hunter today on the show, eh? You know how to play Beer Hunter?
Both those guys are still going, so why don't they? They should bring back them.
They should.
Those guys.
The other dude was on Arrested Development back in the 2000s as that Charlize Theron's dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, now, you know Beer Hunter?
Yeah.
Do you listeners know Beer Hunter? You can play this game at home, eh? It's good for Canadians. Adrian Bacon Farrell, eh? You should play this game at home, eh? You take a six-pack beer, eh, and you want to use bottles, and then you take out one bottle, and then you shake it up, and then you put the bottles back in, and then you mix them up till you don't know which one it is. And then when you open it, you hold it, like, right up to your head, eh? And then if you open it and it's the one, then you get hosed. You towel off, hoser. I might bring in some Bob and Doug McKenzie. They had a
That's 30 years this year, you know that?
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I have the vinyl, and they have a segment on there where you can do an interview with them, and on the inside of the record it tells you what to say, and they ask you questions. Say so like, hey, thanks for being on the show, eh? And then the blank spot. Then you say, oh, thanks. Maybe we could have him on the Tagcast podcast.
That's hilarious.
Say, hey, thanks for being on the show, eh? What's your name, eh? It's like, that's Taryn Gatz. We're just here from the show. Hey, close the door, eh? You left the door open, man. Like, oh, sorry. He's like, hey, Bob. Bob Doug McKenzie. Towel off, hose head. Love those guys. We'll do a 30th anniversary on the Bob and Doug McKenzie.
You know, that album was only available for a short amount of time and currently remains out of print.
I wonder if it's, like, worth some shit. Because I own it. It's got a couple skips and scaps on it and some bent corners on the outside, but still has the original insert, which has the actual dialogue needed to complete the interview with Bob and Doug McKenzie.
They gave you a script for the interview?
Fuck yeah. You got to read along.
Your own?
Like, no. You got to read along with what they say. I'm going to bring that shit in.
That'd be funny.
I'm going to somehow try to get it from a record player to this MP3 media that we deal with here. All right, well, shit, we better get out of here. We got to go get some pizza. Go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com. Click on the donate icon and give us some money. Or just go to amazon.com. There's don't go there. Go to tagcastpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon link. Do some shopping. Christmas is coming up. Or if you just like us and want us to keep broadcasting, or podcasting as they call it, give us some money. We need it. Check out terrygal.com. Check out dudeschillin.com. Constant feed, I think, still going on down in that area of the internet, so that the dark corners of the internet. All right, so that's the Wednesday, and we're going to wrap this thing up. It always sounds like someone lights a match at the beginning of that song.
I think somebody does. There is flames.
Flames!
Blue flame.
Ah, because you need one to heat up the potato, right?
Yep.
It's rising up in the... corn dog. I want to see a video of this song with a potato rising up like a corn dog in the middle of the night, mad as a taco, but he won't put up a fight. And then we're going to go get some pizza and hold the cyanide, please.
Yeah.
Have a happy hump day.
I don't think they have it there.
Oh, pizza now. No, the new cyanide pizza will be coming out next month. It's called the cyanatic meteor. Meteorite.
Rock on, peace
out, lovers. You're my lovers. I love to listen to you listen to me. Oh yeah, metal too. I'm plugging it up. Hey, you guys, what's going on? I got a bunch of shows. The list is getting shorter, it seems like, but whatever. Don't forget, the second Friday of every month at Cornucopia Burgers and Bars, Bars and Burgers, whatever it is, I don't know. It's on 5th and Pearl in Eugene. It's Pantsless Comedy, hosted by Mike McGowan. That's the second Friday of every month. He brings down a couple of comics from Portland, usually every month. Sometimes I'll be there. Every Tuesday, you can go to an open mic in Salem at the Capital City Theater. They're trying to get that off the ground, so I'm trying to help them with that. Every Wednesday at the Tiny Tavern, every Thursday at the Green Room, those are both in Eugene. Open mics for you to go hone your skills on the mic. Coming up at the end of the month, on the 30th, it's Comedy as Advertised at the Granary with Seth Milstein. And that's a later show. Earlier that evening is Bleepin' Funny. I'll be there at Sam Bond's Garage. It starts at 6:30. It's a free show. It's 21 and over, though. So don't bring the kids, please. let's see. I didn't hear about this, so this will only be on here once. The Meat Puppets are playing at the Wow Hall. And it's November 19th.
Wow.
I know. Oh, Wow Hall. November 24th, Monster Magnet at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland. The 26th, it's Morbid Angel at the Hawthorne Theater. December 3rd, we got Suicidal Tendencies at the Wonder Ballroom, playing with a few bands that I'd never heard of, but I'm sure they're probably all right. But it'd be nice to see Suicidal after all these years. Also on the 3rd up in Portland, the Tuesday night, it's the new night for Down and Dirty at the Ash Street Saloon, and this will be a taped event. Jim Willig from the Big and Loud podcast will be headlining, and that's going to be a fun show. December 7th, Vermach with Toe Tag will be performing some Accused songs along with some of their own songs. Spawn will be there, World of Lies, and Roadkill Carnivore. That's at Slabtown in Portland. You don't really want to miss that show, I don't think. That's the day after the big comedy extravaganza, the Grand Slam comedy show at the Denny's Lounge in Albany, right off of I-5 at 3435 Spicer Drive. Gonna have Seth Milstein, Mike McGowan, Mac Chase, myself, and probably a couple guests. Dustin will be hosting the show with his 700-word diatribe. Or something to that effect. January 17th, DRI at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland with World of Lies and a couple other bands. And January 31st at the 31st. Is that a number?
Yes.
The 31st of January at Roseland. It's Zappa Plays Zappa. I'll bet they'll play the song that you're hearing in the background right now, Black Napkins. That's Dweezil and a bunch of former Zappa alumni.
Play. I think they should shorten the name to Blapkins.
Blapkins. Blorpkins. And here's one that you may have heard of or not, but I'll be plugging this till it happens. February 7th, the return of Victims of Internal Decay to Portland. First time in Portland in 18 years. Can you guys believe it? 18.
Dude, what?
I know. 18 years is a long-ass time. Our last show was 4 years ago, and then before that was 11 years.
4 years? Where was that at?
Bogies in 2009 with Yob.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember our reunion show? Did you miss that?
No, I was there.
I thought you were there. Well, anyway, Tonic Lounge is the place. That's on Sandy in Portland. And it's going to be Spawn, World of Lies, Victims of Internal Decay, Truculence, and Warcrank with a K. So I guess that's not the drug. It's probably something you turn with a big handle and it brings on the war. I don't know, but stay tuned for details on that show. It'll be a buy your tickets at the door thing, but
free live for every ticket purchased.
That's right. And give me a free shirt. Hey, go out and do some of those things, and then come back and listen to our podcast. That's the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. See you guys later.